Surat al-Fatiha for the following Marhumeen, Sayyid Zamin Rizvi, Sayyid Fayyaz Ahmad Jafri, Hamid bin Shabir, Rafiq Hussain, Mirza Imam Ali Beg, Mirza Muhammad Ali, Sakina Begum, Sayyid Muhammad Hussain, Mirza Asghar Hussain, Sayyid Ali Hussain, Aziz al-Nisa Begum, Sayyid Raziul Hassan, Iqbal Fatima, and Qasim Hussain. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لجبرائيل عذني فقال يا محمد عش ما شئت فإنك ميت وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُلَاقِيهِ وَحْبِبْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ صلوات It has been a sunnat and tradition of our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam that they were seeking advices. Despite the fact that they belong to the highest level where they really do not stand in need of any advices from anyone. And everyone else, without exception, stand in need of their advices. But this shows their modesty, their tawadhu, and their humbleness, and also a guidance for people like us so that we can seek advices in our life from those who have more knowledge and taqwa than us. So they are setting a role model for all of us that no matter how high we can reach in our spirituality, we will continue to stand in need of seeking advices. So every person is under the control of his actions. So the actions of a person is in charge of our destiny. Our actions are controlling our destiny. Illa ashab al-yameen, except those who are ashab al-yameen, which people commonly perceive that ashab al-yameen are considered to be ashab al-yameen because the book of deeds will be handed over on the day of judgment into their right hands. But my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Hafizahullah was saying in his tafsir, the reason why we call ashab al-yameen to be ashab al-yameen is because of the fact that every action of their life was full of yumn and barakat. And the word yameen in Arabic is derived from the word yumn, which means barakat. That's why we call them ashab al-yameen. So only the ashab al-yameen are the ones who are free. Every other human being other than the ashab al-yameen are under the bondage. They are bonded and tied up. And what is tying them up? Their own actions. So that's where we will realize when it comes down to this, we must realize that we need to be prepared for our death so that we detach ourselves from these bondings. So look at the advice that the Holy Prophet is seeking from Jibreel, although our Holy Prophet is above and beyond seeking advices. Isn't it right? Because the hadith says, Sabbahna fa sabbahatil malaika. We did the tasbih, and then the malaika did the tasbih. So basically, the angels of Allah didn't even know how to do the tasbih of God. They learned the basic tasbih towards Allah through the tasbih of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That's how they started to do the tasbih. So when the angels were like this, Jibreel became the Sayyidul Malaika, the head of all the angels, because when he looked at the noor of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he requested Allah to make him serving that noor. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the Sayyidul Malaika. So now we learn that the Holy Prophet really doesn't stand in need of seeking advices from Jibreel. Isn't it right? And the same Imam Ali alayhi salam, for becoming a servant to that noor, Jibreel receives the status of becoming the leader of all the angels. The same Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he talks about the Holy Prophet, he says, Ana abdum min abide Muhammad. I am a slave among the slaves of Muhammad. Can you imagine the highness of Rasulullah in the eyes of Imam Ali alayhi salam? So Prophet really doesn't stand in need of any advices, but this is the azamat and greatness of his soul, that despite the fact he doesn't stand in need of the advice, Prophet is still asking Jibreel. And Jibreel says, O Muhammad, ish ma shi'ta fa innaka mayyit. Live whatever, as long as you wish, in other words, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words. Live as much as you wish, but you are going to die. That means at the end of the day, you are supposed to face mort and death. Some wonderful advice by Jibreel. And this advice is advice based on haqiqat and reality. Islam is a religion that wants us to lead a life of a real life, facing and embracing the realities. Death is a reality. Isn't it right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined every human being, including the prophets of God, to face this reality. And the only way to face the reality and to be prepared for embracing the reality of death is that we are prepared all the time. That's the only way to be prepared for death. So Islam is a religion that was asking us right from the beginning, it is mustahab to go to the graveyard from the Tulu'ul Fajr, the true dawn, up till the the sunrise, between the Tulu Ain, it is mustahab in the Shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that we pay a visit. We pay a visit to the graveyard. That's the tradition of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. It is mustahab. We have ziyarat of Ahlul Qubur, ziyarat of those who are lying in the graves. We need to go there, say salam to them, all those mu'mineen who are lying there. Isn't it right? That's the tradition of our Urafa, our great personalities. They used to visit the graveyard. Some of them used to talk to the graves upon the footsteps and sirat of Ahlul Bayt. That's how Ahlul Bayt used to talk. Isn't it right? So talking to the dead people, didn't Imam Ali alayhi salam talk to the grave? Nahjul Balagha informs us when he says to the graves, Ya Ahl al-Diyar al-Muhisha, O you who are living in the scary houses, Wal mahal al-Muqfira wal qubur al-Muzlima, and the dark graves, Antum lana faratun sabiq wa nahnu lakum taba'un lahiq. So you are the group who went ahead of us and we are the ones who are going to join you. And then Imam Ali alayhi salam said to the graves, بِظَهْرِ الْكُوفَ, and the outskirts of the city of Kufa, he said to the graves that, أَمَّا الْأَزْوَاجِ فَقَدْ نُكِحَتْ. As far as the wives, the issue about the wives goes, the wives have been married. That means the wives that you people had, your spouses, let me translate in a better way, the spouses, your spouses have been married. وَأَمَّا الْأَمْوَالِ فَقَدْ قُسِمَتْ. As far as your wealth, your money goes, it has been distributed. Obviously, when the person passes away, the wealth gets distributed among all the inheritors, rightfully or wrongfully. Isn't it right? There are some people who usurp the inheritance of the dead father and don't distribute the inheritance. One brother or one sister takes up all the miras and inheritance of his or her dead father and is not ready to distribute this inheritance according to the siham, the shares mentioned in the Holy Quran, that this person is consuming haram. Isn't it right? There's so many out there who are doing this, usurping the virasat and inheritance, and not ready to distribute. They distribute according to their own culture, not according to Quranic rulings. That these people are consuming haram in their lives. There is no barakat in their life. So, rightfully or wrongfully, the wealth, the money gets distributed after the person dies. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, أَمَّا الدُّورِ فَقَدْ سُكِنَتْ. As far as the houses go, they have been occupied. That means those houses where you used to live are no longer yours. It's now occupied by some others. And then he says, هَذَا خَبَرُ مَا عِنْدَنَا. This is the news that we have about you people. Is there some news you have about us? ثُمَّ إِلْتَفَتَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِهِ. Then he turned, he paid attention towards his companions. And he said, "Ama lo udhina lahum fil kalam." You know, we are talking about the advice that Jibreel gave to the Holy Prophet, that live whatever you want as long as you want to live, but at the end of the day, you are going to die. We are focusing on that statement of mouth. How can we prepare to die? So Imam Ali alayhi salam, then he paid attention to his ashab and companions and said that, "Ama lo udhina lahum fil kalam." If they were allowed to talk, لَأَخْبَرُوكُمْ أَنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. They would have informed you that the best of the zad, the best of what we can carry with us, is taqwa. Everything else remains here. That's so true, in other words. Everything else of this dunya, you know, whatever kind of house you live in, whatever car you drive, whatever is the balance in your checking account, everything else is going to stay here. Nothing can go with you. So look at the example that Sheikh Baha'uddin, not this Baha'ullah, who was the puppet of the Tahuti colonialists who created this religion. I'm talking about Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Baha'uddin al-Amili, who was commonly known as Sheikh al-Baha'i, rahmatullah alayh. Such a unique and remarkable scholar and mujtahid and marje of our history. He belonged to Jabal Amil, South Lebanon, but he was residing in the city of Isfahan because the Hausa in those days was located in Isfahan, and he was the head of the Hausa of Isfahan. Look at the example that Sheikh al-Baha'i, rahmatullah alayh, is giving, is that imagine there's a well, and there's a rope hanging in the well, and the human being is holding on to the rope. At the bottom of the well, there is a big python, a snake, opening its mouth, awaiting for this human to fall down. On the top of the well, there are two, one black mouse and one white mouse, and they're eating this rope from the top. And then there's some honey on top of the well, and this human is sticking his finger into the honey and trying, which is already mixed up with so much soil, but he's trying, sticking his finger into the honey to get something from that. This example, how Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Baha'uddin al-Amili, is presenting the life of this dunya. He's not an ordinary scholar. He's a scholar who has so many barakat in his life. So many barakat that belong to his life. And one of those scholars who was having comprehensive knowledges of all the various sciences. So he says, this rope that is hanging in the well, this rope is the life of a human being. Just visualize the life of a human being in the form of a rope. And the human is holding on to it, and at the bottom, this python, the snake who is waiting for him to fall down, is the death of a person. The snake is ready. As soon as the human falls down, he's going to eat. And the mouse, the black and white, are the day and the night which are passing by. Every day we are witnessing a new creature of God. Isn't it right? The hadith tells us from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the day itself addresses the humankind. The day itself addresses the humankind. Yabna Adam, ana yawmun jadid. Oh, the son of Adam. Oh, the human. In other words, I'm a new day. Wa ana khalqun jadid. I'm a new creation. So every day is a new creation of Allah, unlike the yesterday and tomorrow. Wa ana alayka shaheed. And I'm a witness over you. And if I pass by, you're never going to see me back again. So when today passes by, this today will never ever return back. And tomorrow is a new creation of Allah. So nothing to do with yesterday. So the actions are already registered by the today. And the today has gone with all what it has registered on behalf of Allah. That's why our scholars, our Urufa, say that every particle of the universe is registering our deeds. And it's looking at us with its eyes wide open. How can we do the sin? That's what our Urufa say. How can we do a sin? Because everything around us is staring at us. It requires a vision. It requires your true vision of the soul to realize what they are saying and to basically have the same perception. So what I was saying is that وَكَذَلَكَ يَقُولُ اللَّيْلِ إِذَا أَدْبَرَ النَّهَارِ. And then Imam Sadiq al-Salam says, similarly the night says, when the day passes by. So when the day passes by, the night arrives, it addresses the humankind. Every single night itself addresses the humankind. Yabna Adam, ana, I am a new night. I am a new creature of Allah. And I am a witness over you. So do good through me and do good in me. Once I pass by, you're never going to see me back again. That's how the day and night themselves address the humankind. So Sheikh Baha'i is saying, this rope is the life of a human. And this mouse, the black and white, they are day and night eating the rope, and as soon as those, you know, moments are counted, a person has a last breath, he takes his last breath, and now the rope is broken, he's going to fall into the hand of the death. And this honey that he says, Sheikh Bhai says, is the dunya. People are sticking their fingers so they can also get some share of this dunya. You know, it's already soiled up with the soil because all earlier generations have been eating up from the same dunya. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam say in his hadith that ala hurrun yada'u hadhihi al-lumadhata li ahliha. Is there a free man who can leave this lumadha for the person for whom it for the person who deserves it? Lumadha in Arabic means that remainder particles of the food which remain in your gums after you chew the food. Those are the particles of the food that stick into your gum and remain inside your gums. That remainder of the food is called lumadha. So Imam Ali alayhi salam considers this entire dunya and all its belongings to be the remainder particles of food which have been already consumed by the previous generations, and the remains are here remaining. Is there a free man out there who can ignore this remainder food which is already chewed by the previous generations because you are free? In other words, because of our true freedom, isn't it right? Not the Western freedom, how they say in the West, you know. Freedom in the West means freedom, like I said last night, to violate the law of the Creator. Freedom in the West means freedom to violate the law of the Creator. We have the best of the freedoms already in our religion, and we cherish about those great divine value system, which we never compromise over our values. Proudly so. So what I was saying is that this is how the dunya is. And when Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Nakhlistan, in a garden of the date palm trees, once he, the rewired narration says that the dunya, this world, dunya was personified in the form of a woman in front of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And he asked her, how many husbands did you have? And she replied back, a lot. So Imam Ali said, did you divorce all of them? She said, no, actually I killed them. And that's where Imam Ali alayhi salam said that, you know, woe to those of your husbands who don't take a lesson. That means those who are not ready to take a lesson from what has happened to the earlier ones. That's the reality of this dunya. Please say salawat. And this attachment of this dunya is the one which causes us to all those various sins that people are doing, especially our youth. See, in the young age, whatever good deeds we perform has much more thawab. And when you reach the age of 75, 80, 85, 90, almost everybody becomes pious. That's not a big deal. Isn't it right? In the final, so you did what you did, business as usual throughout your life, you know, in the name of freedom and women's rights and democracy and human rights, all those hollow slogans of the West. You did what you feel like doing throughout your life. Now that you are almost nearly dead, now you end up, you know, going to the Jamaat prayers and all that stuff. That's not a big deal in the eyes of Allah either. The big deal is that we care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are young. That's where Allah holds greater respect for your actions. So the narration tells us that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam will be presented in front of those. This is the itmam hujjat, fulfilling the evidence. That's how Allah is fulfilling His evidence. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam will be presented in front of those youth who were good looking. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is also good looking, isn't it right? But he didn't do any sins. Hazrat Zulaikha will be presented in front of the good-looking woman. She didn't do any sin. So there's a way for a person to avoid it. And that's what our Prophet and Harbet have been focusing on there in their lives. Especially the eyes is one of the very important tools of shaitan. This person came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said,
is it okay for me to look at some other woman
when she's walking from behind her back. See, do we like our wives and daughters to be looked at in that way? Obviously, nobody's going to like that. So Imam alayhi salam said that like for yourself what you like for others. Like for others what you like for yourself. So basically, when we don't like that for ourselves, how do we like for others? Islam is a religion that teaches us the highest level of morality. And protecting our eyes, the father is liable and the mother is liable to check the Facebook status of their daughter and their son. Isn't it right? When the Homeland Security Department has the right to check and monitor our emails for the Homeland Security, then the father and the mother also have the right to check the Facebook status for the Homeland Security of the souls of their daughters and mothers. Unfortunately, it's a common practice we find in some of the very religious families, but you find their children and their status on the Facebook, it is shameful. It's shameful. And the father doesn't have this much sense to pay attention to what his daughter is doing. What happens to the fathers? I don't understand. Do you forget your own young age? Or what? Or you have extraordinary high husnul dhan about your children? This is not what Islam says. We need to hold ourselves accountable. Isn't it right? So there has to be. The father is liable for the tarbiyat of the children. Also the mother. She is not exempt. She also has to do the tarbiyat. But primarily the father. Because children in Islamic value system belongs to the father.
Haqqul walid. Prophet has said in his hadith. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Haqqul walid ala waladihi. The right of the, you know, haqqul walad ala walidihi an yuhassina ismahu, yuhassina adabahu, yuallimahu al-Qur'an. So it's the right of the child on the neck of the father that the father assigns him a good name. Not a name that has no meaningfulness, you know, just because it seems good. There are some people who are putting names for their kids which just seems good. When you call it, it sounds good. This is insult of the ruh and soul of this child. If you are assigning a name to your son and daughter just because it sounds good, it has no ma'naviyat and meaningfulness, you are insulting the soul of your son or daughter. So look at the greatness of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In the times when he was living, when Muawiyah la'natullah alayhi has been persecuting Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam's followers day in and day out. In the times when he commanded all those darbari puppet mullahs in his empire to curse Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt before they start their sermon from 80,000 members. Amir al-Mumin al-Islam was cursed by Muawiyah's people. In those days when Imam Ali and his followers were persecuted, Imam Hussein says, لَوْ وُلِدَ لِي مِئَةٌ. That means if Allah, in other words, gives me, if I am given 100 children, I will not name them any other name other than Imam Ali al-Islam's name, which is Ali. Jihad of Imam Hussein al-Islam. Even by naming a son, he's doing jihad. Isn't it right? Some people told me that, you know, those who have the name of Muhammad or Ali are singled out by the agencies, on the airports. And I said to those brothers, the only way to survive in this situation, so we are the most peaceful people on earth because Islam is a religion of love and justice and peace. But the only way to survive respectfully is that you name every son of yours, you name it Muhammad and Ali. That's the only solution to this problem. That's the only solution to this problem. Because we are proud over Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his policy. Despite the fact Imam Ali and his followers were persecuted, he named all of his children as Ali and all of his daughters were named Fatima without exception. Now all you find Akbar and Al-Asghar, these are adjectives, they're not part of the name. The names in Arabic are always one, not two or three or four. So all the names of all the children, Imam Ali, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, all of his sons were named Ali. That's it. Akbar and Asghar are adjectives, they're not part of the name. And all of his daughters were named Fatima without exception. And that's why we have these controversies. Which of those daughters who died in the Zindan of Sham? Was it Hazrat Sakina, as it is commonly mentioned in the culture of India and Pakistan? Or it was another daughter who was also named Fatima. And she was commonly called as Ruqayya bintul Zainab. Which daughter? The controversy is because the names of all the daughters were Fatima. Isn't it right? Ruqayya and Sukaina, Sakina were just, you know, names which are not part of the names. They're just, you know, just like you call your daughter out of love. You give them some name. That's not her actual names. So what I was saying is that in Islam, we have to be very particular that our children get the proper Islamic tarbiyat, and that's the liability of the father and the mother. So it is a constant tradition that we find. See, whenever we have shortcomings in our behavior, see, one of the scholars was telling us that there was a guy who was selling lemon juice in Karbala. Oh, in old days, when it was very hot weather, the doctors had suggested to people to, you know, drink this lemon juice, it would help. So after a while, this guy also was subjected to the same illness in summer season, and they brought the lemon juice for him. And he didn't get no shifa, no cure from the same thing. He was the one who used to sell the lemon juice for others who were suffering from that illness in the summer season in Karbala. But now that he himself became a victim of the same illness in summer, and they brought the same juice for him, he's not getting the shifa. And they asked, what's the reason? It's the same lemon juice that you have been serving yourself. He said, well, I know the reason why Allah is not giving me shifa through the same lemon juice that I used to serve to others who were suffering. Because in the peak season, Allah is taking revenge from me, intiqam from me. Because in the peak season, when people were suffering in Karbala, what I used to do, I used to raise the price. Raise the price of this juice. And Islam is extremely condemned that we, raise the price of a commodity which people stand in need. When people are standing in need of something, if you raise the price for the sake of price gouging, this is gunah-e-kabira in Islam. You're messing up with the needs and necessities of the society. That's haram. But some people are like, you know, they are like ants. They behave like ants. That's the khislat of an ant. The ant is the one which is piling up foods for long duration in the holes. So they want to pile up the necessary food in their house so that the prices go high. Isn't it right? And these people deserve to be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the form of ants. They ask for it. Allah is adil. That's the way it works. So we find that don't feed these kind of food to your children. If we are earning money from the haram source, don't feed that money to your children. Have mercy on your own souls and the souls of your children. Because the haram has to appear in the lineage. Kasbul haram yabino fi zurriya. Haram earning is bound to appear in the lineage. The hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam can never turn out to be false. So we find that somebody came to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And he said to Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam that what is mal qareeb wa mal aqrab? What is near and what is nearer? And mal ajib wa mal a'jab? What is surprising and what is more surprising? And then he said, mas sa'ab wa mal as'ab? What is hard and what is harder? And Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam replied back to the questions. He first said, as far as the qareeb, the something which is near, that is qiyamat. The day of judgment is qareeb. It is near. Wal aqrab minha al maut. And what is nearer than the day of judgment is death. That is nearer than the day of judgment. Obviously, we believe that death is one of the first mawaqif of qiyamah. Isn't it right? We believe in 50 mawaqif, 50 stations of qiyamah, where every single person will be stopped and ask various questions. And every stop, we will ask various questions for 1,000 years. So 1,000 years and 50 stations, that's 50,000 years. So day of judgment equals to 50,000 years of this world. The first station of the day of judgment is called death. Death is described to be the station number one of the day of judgment. So we find that's where we are, you know, we already entered into the day of judgment. So, and then we find that Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam says that, also the hadith says, al-wajib, what is wajib and what is awjib? Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam says, wajib is obedience of Allah. And awjib, what is more wajib, is tarku zunub. It means avoiding the sins. Avoiding the sins is even more wajib than doing the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amma al-ajib fa dunya. Amir Mu'minin says the ajib, the surprising, is dunya. It is obviously surprising, you know, the way you see, just like we discussed moments ago, how people are fooled by ad-dunya taghurru wa tadurru wa tamurru. Then Amir Mu'minin say, dunya fools and harms and passes by. That's the way the dunya is. It always deceives, it always harms, and it always passes away. It's not going to stay. You know, some people think they are smart, they can serve the taghuts, they can butter up the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, and they can run away with all that. They think they are smart. Isn't it right? No one can outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how much these people who are buttering up the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam today, the Yazids and Shims of today, they are the ones who get bitten up by the same enemies whom they are buttering. They get bitten up by the same enemies sooner than those people who are not compromising over their values. That's the way it works. Man bakhila bima'unati akhihi al-muslim, whoever is a miser, bakhil, towards, exercises bukhl towards his fellow Muslim brother, wal qiyam lahu bihajatihi, and he is not ready to stand to fulfill the need of his fellow Muslim brother, ubtuliya bima'unati man ya'sam alayhi wa la yujar, he will be subjected to end up supporting someone who will be doing wrong against him, and then he will not be given any ajr and reward over what wrong he faced. That's the way it works. So we find, you know, somebody was, when there was a fundraising going on for the masjid, this guy was not ready to pay a single penny for the masjid. Although not every masjid is productive for the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Those of the masjids which are productive for the walayat of the Imam. Not those so-called, you know, centers and masajid which are taghutis. We don't even put our step into, because the shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is not allowing us to put our step into that place. Those places. In Arabia, we have a very high level of moral value system. We cannot reinvent the wheel. That's not my hukum. They're the shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So those are the centers. They are centers today who put a ban, isn't it right? Put a ban on all those ulama who talk about Yawmul Quds. Put a ban on all those ulama who talk about the Islamic social and political duties. Isn't it right? There are so many so-called centers and masajid. And unfortunately, so we are talking about the real masjids, which are really standing for the i'la'u kalimatillah, for the uplift of the kalima and word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we have these kinds of masajid, then obviously they will empower our youth to learn the values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So what is surprising is this dunya. Amir Mumin says, Ammal ajib fad-dunya. Ad-dunya. Fad-dunya. So this is what is surprising. Wal a'jab minha. And more surprising than dunya is hubb-dunya. The attachment towards this dunya. It's because of this attachment, some people have links with the kuffar. Isn't it right? They have links with the kuffar. And they want to protect their own personal ties with kuffar. More importantly, as compared to protecting their ties with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So, what I was saying is this person was, the fundraising going on in the masjid. And he was not ready to give a single penny for the masjid, which is a nice masjid, productive for the word of God and the walayat of the Imam alayhi salam. But, so now this person walked out and he started to drive and he was talking over the cell phone in one of the Western countries where their penalty of talking over the cell phone is $2,000. So he stepped out and he was talking over the phone and he had to end up paying $2,000 to that kafir country and their administration, but he was not ready to take a single penny for the sake of the masjid. Isn't it right? We cannot reinvent the wheel. The teachings of Ahlul Bayt are the final word. They're just like a mark on the stone. No power can alter it. Man bakhila bima'unati akhihi al-muslim. Whoever is showing his bukhl towards his Muslim brother, he will end up paying the same money that he's saving. He will end up paying the same money to someone who is going to do wrong over him, but he will not be rewarded. So that's the way it works. We think we are smart. That's our own perception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the shots. We need to have the yaqeen in that. And our risk is in the hands of Allah. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command Prophet Musa to go to the Prophet Musa went there and Allah commanded him to strike his asa. He struck the asa over the water and the water was opened up till the bed. He can see till the bottom and there was a stone. And Allah commanded Prophet Musa to strike his asa over that stone. And he did. And the stone opened up and there was a second stone inside that stone. Allah commanded Prophet Musa to strike his asa and stick over the second stone inside that bigger stone which was at the bottom of that, that place. So we find Hazrat Musa striked his asa on the second stone and that's where a small insect came out with a tiny particle of food in its mouth and that was an insect which was blind. And the zikr and the phrase of remembrance, which was on, this insect was constantly oft repeating that zikr and phrase of remembrance of Allah, was like this. Oh my Lord, who did not forget providing the sustenance and risk to me, the blind insect living in two stones. Why would you forget the risk and sustenance of the humankind? That's the zikr that insect was constantly repeating. How lowly a person can get, isn't it right? It's about our own najasat of the soul. Love of dunya is the biggest najasat of the... There's no najasat outside in the outer world who are bigger than that. The love of dunya. Isn't that right? So we find that then Jibreel said to the Holy Prophet that وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُلَاقِيهِ. Do what you want to do, what you wish to do, you are going to meet it. We do believe in our Islamic belief system that we are going to meet with our amal. We believe in tajassumul amal. Our actions get personified and we will meet our prayers in the grave. We will meet our fastings in the grave. We will meet our hajj in the grave. We will meet our khums in the grave. Isn't it right? Lots of people don't pray the khums. Inshallah, in one of the nights I will talk about that. So we will meet our amal in the graves. We do believe in that. Do whatever you wish to do, you are going to meet it. And then he said that وَحْبِبْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُلَاقِيهِ. Love what you wish to love. Some people have a love affair with money. The focus of their life is to make more and more and more money. That's it. 24/7 they are thinking about making more money. Isn't it right? Didn't Imam Ali Islam say, إِنَّ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ نَهْجُ الْبَلَاغَ إِنَّ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ أَوْجَبْ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ طَلَبِ الْمَالِ. Seeking the knowledge, that means the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, is more wajib on you than seeking the money. But some people are focused on money. Isn't it right? How much we can eat? The same few breads. Isn't it right? How much can we eat? How much can any person eat? You can only eat as much. But this is about the wrong perceptions of the people, wrong beliefs. Every fault that you find in people's behaviors, in the furu'd-deen, in the matters of our behaviors, has to take its roots to one or several problems that we are facing in the usuluddin, the roots of the religion. That's why we are having this problem in our behavior. There's something gone wrong in your beliefs. That's why we have this kind of wrong behavior in the practical actions. Because those are interconnected, aqidah and amal. Belief and actions are intertwined, interconnected, interdependent. So we find, وَحْبِبْ مَا شَيْتَ, love whatever you love, want to love, you are going, فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ, you are certainly going to depart it. You will leave it. You can never stay with your beloved in this world. Unless we find, so obviously that's not part of the hadith, but I'm explaining to you, unless if a person is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is loving the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And their love is considered to be equal in its value to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man zakarakum faqad zakarallah azza wa jal. Isn't it right? So if somebody loves them because they already didn't love nothing except Allah in their lives. So loving them is loving Allah. And that's how Imam Hussein alayhi salam was. There was only one love in his heart. And that was the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? إِلَهِ تَرَكْتُ الْخَلْقَ تُرًّا فِي هَوَاكَ. Sayyid ibn Ta'us says, so Imam Hussein is standing, ready to stand alone for the sake of the justice of God. He's not ready to bend in front of the Tahut. Not even a young daughter of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Sakina, ever said to her dad, Dad, what's wrong in accepting Yazid for 1 hour, for a couple of hours? At least I can get some water to drink. Do you ever find in any narration, Hazrat Sakina has said to her dad, let's accept the Tahut of our time? And look at these behaviors who are people who are putting the flags and sitting over the member. And I said to some people, the flag is not going to save you. Imam Sahibul Zaman alayhi salam can save you. So that's how some people are. So we find Imam Hussein alayhi salam is standing, you know, with his resilience and the day of Ashura alone. And Sayyid ibn Ta'us says that Imam alayhi salam fawakafa. لِيَسْتَرِيحَ سَاعَةً. Imam stopped from the battle for a while. وَقَدْ ضَعُفَ عَنِ الْقِتَالِ. And he got weak from the fight. Obviously he had so many injuries. Some of the narrations say that Imam alayhi salam has had 1,110 injuries of the sword alone on his body. We can't imagine. That's beyond our imagination. وَفَوَقَفَ لِيَسْتَرِيحَ سَاعَةً Imam stopped so he could relax for a while. وَقَدْ ضَعُفَ عَنِ الْقِتَالِ And he got weak from the fight. And obviously the forces retreated back. They came. And somebody attacked Imam Hussein with a sword. Somebody started to attack Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam with a spear. Somebody who didn't have a sword or a spear, they attacked Mawla Imam Hussein with a stone and the rocks. فَأَصَابَهُ حَجَرٌ عَلَىٰ جَبْهَتِهِ Sayyid ibn Ta'us says, a stone struck over his forehead. فَخَرَجَ الدَّمْ The blood came out. Imam grabbed the cloth. فَأَخَذَ الثَّوْبُ لِيَمْسَحَ الدَّمْ عَنْ جَبْهَتِهِ He grabbed the cloth so he can wipe the blood from his forehead. And that was the time, إِذْ أَصَابَهُ سَهْمٌ مَسْمُومٌ ذُو سَلَاسِ شُعَبْ That was the time that the three-pointed poisoned arrow was thrown, targeting the heart of Imam Hussein. The heart of Abi Abdullah alayhi salam was targeted by that shaqi with a three-pointed arrow which was poisoned. And for أَخْرَجَ السَّهْمَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَهِرِهِ Mawla, he took out the arrow from behind his back. Look at the courage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He took out the arrow from behind his back. فَخَرَجَ الدَّمْ كَأَنَّهُ مِيزَابٌ Blood gushed out just like a spout of blood coming out. And that's where Mawla said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you know they are killing the person, that there is no son of the daughter of your prophet other than him. That means I am the only son of the daughter of the prophet who is there being killed. So, and that's after a while, we find that Mawla could not sustain over the back of the Zuljanah, the horse. And Zuljanah discovered that Mawla is so weak and injured, he cannot sustain over the back. So Zuljanah kneels down to facilitate the body of Imam Hussein to come over the ground in Maidan of Karbala. But no, the body still did not reach the Maidan because the body is now raised over the arrows. The body of Imam Hussein is raised over the arrows. And Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar Shustari, rahmatullah alayhi, he says that Imam Hussein fell down several times over his face. Over his face down because he was raising his head and watching whether the enemies are attacking the Ahlul Haram. The ladies in the tents, Imam's ghairat could not tolerate the enemies. Attacking the Ahlul Haram, So Imam cannot tolerate that. He was looking, because he was so weak, he cannot stand up straight. He was falling down over his face. And finally, the time came when Hazrat Zainab was standing on the Tillai Zainabiyya. وَالشِّمْرُ جَالِسٌ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ And Shimr was sitting over the chest of Imam, grabbing the beard of Imam Hussein with one of his hands and slaughtering the Mawla Imam Hussein from behind his back. Hazrat Zainab did not stay silent over the zulm. She protested in front of the Taghut and she said to Umar ibn Sa'd, يُقْتَلُ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ تَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ In other words, Imam Hussein is being killed and you are watching him.
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها وعلاها پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما بانیان مجلس کے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما ان کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما
ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں. ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاه محمد و آله الطاهرين يا حسين.